In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc., and you. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pope Francis met with 1,000 Lutherans at the Vatican today, and he had a message for them. The AP is reporting that the message is essentially lay aside doctrine and let's work together for some real unity. Now, that's not a surprising statement to come from Pope Francis. It is a surprising statement to come from a pope, but this pope, not so much. We're going to talk about Pope Francis' message to a group of Lutherans at the Vatican. Does this pope understand Lutheranism? Does he understand the full warp and woof of global Lutheranism, not just the liberal Lutherans with whom he has been having conversations lately? Dr. Al Culver joins us. He's director of church relations for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and executive secretary of the International Lutheran Council. He joins us live from Germany. Dr. Culver, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd.
Do you think that Pope Francis has an accurate picture of Lutheranism?
Well, I think that Pope Francis is not an academic like Pope Benedict was, and I deeply suspect that his understanding of Lutheranism is different than the previous popes.
How so?
The previous pope was an academic, and he came from Germany. He grew up with the German situation, and he had read Martin Luther. Pope Francis, by his own admission, has said, "I'm not really a theologian." And so Pope Francis does not consider himself a theologian or an academic theologian, such as some of the other popes in the past or some of the cardinals.
The headline that has emerged from the Vatican after the pope's meeting with about 1,000 Lutherans today is that the pope is urging Lutherans to set aside a doctrine to work together. What do you make of that urging on the part of the pope?
Well, the headline from the Associated Press is rather bold, and it makes it sound as if Lutherans are to totally give up their doctrine so that they can work with Roman Catholics. I think the best way to read that is cooperation and externals. That would be the best way that you could understand that. Of course, you could understand this much worse. It strikes me that what Pope Francis is emphasizing is he's emphasizing social deeds, works, and reception of refugees as a mark of Christianity.
And at least in that narrow sense, would you quibble if it's just cooperation in externals, as you said?
Well, I think that in the realm of cooperation externals, which would include things like working to ensure religious freedom so that Roman Catholics and Lutherans can worship freely, we certainly could do that. In this particular case, I think the Pope is particularly focused on working with the poor and bringing in refugees. And in and of itself, as social efforts, sure, Lutherans and Roman Catholics can work together on some of these social issues. But I think the Pope goes a little bit further than that. He actually says, if you don't help the refugee, if you don't help the poor, you're a hypocrite, you're not a Christian.
Can this statement Thursday to this group of Lutherans at the Vatican, can it be separated from the broader context of the upcoming 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation and efforts on the part of both the Vatican and liberal Lutherans in both America and elsewhere to reach some kind of at least surface agreement or truce on theological matters?
Well, I think these two events are very much linked. Pope Francis in this event mentioned that he's going to be going to Lund so that he can have this joint commemoration with the Lutherans. And he also said that this highlights the 50 years of dialogue between Roman Catholics and Lutherans. And he finally said, I am thankful that we have gone from conflict to communion. So this audience with about 1,000 Lutherans, primarily from Saxony, which is the territory where the Reformation itself was born and where Martin Luther worked, that's where most of these people came from. He's suggesting that this is the ecumenical path that we're down, and the way to bridge the final gap is through acts of mercy.
Hmm. So on the Lutheran side of this equation, of course, there's going to be the Lutheran World Federation and its representatives in both Europe and the United States, in some cases radically liberal Lutheranism. When they hear the Pope use a phrase like communion, they're probably overjoyed, aren't they?
Yes. I mean, they are hoping that this leads to a joint Eucharist celebration someday. The Pope has made clear that this celebration in Lund is not going to be a joint Eucharist, but they are having a joint liturgy that they created for this event. But most of the Pope's comments are actually on Christian works, on helping the poor, to bringing in refugees, and he says he doesn't like lukewarm Roman Catholics, and he doesn't like lukewarm Lutherans. So the proof for him of your Christian faith are these works of mercy.
So make the case that if there were to be an actual communion achieved between Lutherans and Roman Catholics, that the path has to be something more than simply engaging in acts of mercy together. Make that case, if you would, Al.
Well, we believe and teach that unity in the church comes through common teaching, and that is the foundation that we have in the Book of Concord, that the gospel is taught purely and the sacrament is administered rightly. And we see this as a teaching of correct doctrine. The Pope here is talking about the witness of faith, and that you can see the witness of faith through acts of mercy, or he calls it the witness of mercy. And so by promoting a witness of mercy, people can see your faith. And so he's also making a distinction between the theologians who carry on the dialogue in matters of doctrine, but he says that common Christians come together through these acts of mercy. I guess you see that you don't have differences and you work for a common cause.
So a unity and a common purpose or mission rather than unity and a common belief and practice.
That seems to be what the Pope is suggesting. And when I read the Associated Press story and then I've looked at some other information, it's difficult to be exactly sure what he's driving at or what he's getting at. I must admit it. It's a little confusing.
Is that part of the ongoing challenge of understanding this Pope, that he is often ambiguous, sometimes maybe purposefully so, but he lacks the theological precision of his predecessors?
Yeah, I do think that is a challenge for those of us who would like to have a strict theological definition. This Pope does not seem to be as interested in that. And you think of where he came from. He comes from South America. He spent most of his time working among the homeless and the poor. He was a very pragmatic, hands-on sort of priest. And so I think in his mind, he sees dialogue and discussion. I wouldn't say he sees it as useless, but you're quibbling over a lot of words, and he wants to see action. And in his mind, the best way of seeing action is let's get out, let's help the poor, let's receive refugees, let's show our Christian love for one another in the world.
The cynic in me, Al, says that the liberal Lutheran participants in these dialogues and in these events view this Pope as a godsend. He's everything they always hoped he would be. Am I wrong?
Well, I do think that they find him attractive in many ways. I think because many of these more liberal churches have focused on social issues, they find a common language with the Pope. Because the Lutheran World Federation, for instance, is very interested in helping refugees and working with other agencies to do that. They're very interested in social issues. Now, of course, the problem with Francis from the liberal Lutheran standpoint is despite the fact that he likes social issues, he has not embraced the entire liberal agenda for society, including gay marriage.
And that, even for this Pope, perhaps would be a road too far?
I believe so. At this time, he certainly has indicated that the church should be a welcoming place so that all people can hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, receive his forgiveness. But he has not endorsed the idea that you can have same-sex marriage.
Has this, as far as you can tell, has Pope Francis, has he softened the idea, which I think is deeply ingrained in the Roman Catholic view of any kind of fellowship with non-Catholic groups, that it would amount to, in the end, submission to the Roman Church's authority?
On that front, I don't really see a softening, because the Pope sees himself as the leader of the Church. And the as some Roman Catholic theologians have explained it to me, is Pope Francis has not changed the doctrinal stance. He's changed how it's practiced or how it's pastorally applied. And so I think what you're seeing with Pope Francis is his interpretation of how to apply it is perhaps seen as more welcoming or more generous, but the idea behind the application is said to still be the same.
Before we let you go, what are you doing in Germany, Al?
Well, in Germany, we just had the International Lutheran Conference World Seminaries meeting, and we had about 70 individuals from around the world, from every continent. We met in Wittenberg. Some of us stayed here at the old Latin school, and we met in the Leukeria, which is the old Wittenberg University, and we held a conference on the impact of the Reformation and for the 21st century in the area of worship, mission, and worldview. And we had some wonderful presentations and great fellowship, and we had a number of people coming to this conference who are not members of the ILC, but are either members of other LWF churches or, in some cases, members of churches that have just remained isolated for a number of years and are now saying, this looks like a group we want to be a part of.
Well, in reference to the ILC, what can you tell us about the Global Seminary Initiative?
Well, the Global Seminary Initiative is our project to train the people who will train future pastors. And we just released a video today about this. And there's some shocking things in there. You know, in the United States and in Europe, we sometimes talk about the declining need for pastors because of demographics. And in the video, we hear an Ethiopian pastor and church leader say, we're short about 9,000 pastors. And in Madagascar, you hear them say, we're short about 7,000 pastors. And in Tanzania, they're short, you know, by several thousand pastors. So there are parts of the world where they need more pastors, and part of our task or part of the task of the Global Seminary Initiative is to help train the people who are going to train those pastors, give them a solid basis in the Holy Scriptures and the Lutheran Confessions.
Folks, you can find out more about the vital work of the Global Seminary Initiative at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. Al Culver is Director of Church Relations for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and Executive Secretary of the International Lutheran Council. He joined us live from Germany. Dr. Culver, thank you for your time.
Thank you so much.
When you walk into the history classroom, what kind of challenges are you going to hear to your Christian faith and the Christian worldview? We'll take a part four of our series, Classroom Apologetics, Dr. Mark Kaltoff, after this.
When pastors talk about us, they call us ad crucem. When laity mention us, they speak of ad crucem. When non-Lutherans address us, they say ADC Rucam. But no matter how you say it, Ad Crucem is the place to go for greeting cards, artwork, jewelry, ornaments, housewares, church certificates, church banners, and all your gift-buying needs. Visit adcrucem.com, confessing the faith through art and word. ADCRUCEM.com.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Lutheran Service Book has been in use now for an entire decade. And we at Concordia Theological Seminary felt it was a good time to give some consideration of what we've learned in the process of using that hymnal for 10 years.
Dr. Paul Grimm, talking about the Good Shepherd Institute Conference, November 6th through the 8th, on the campus of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
We're bringing together a number of people who were involved in the project, as well as other pastors and musicians who have used the hymnal for 10 years, with the goal that together we can consider even more deeply how this hymnal has affected our church body in its gathering together Sunday after Sunday as we receive the gifts of God in the divine service and return our thanks and praise for his wondrous deeds.
Lutheran Service Book at 10 Years is the theme for the 17th Annual Good Shepherd Institute Conference, November 6th through the 8th at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. For more information, visit ctsfw.edu or call 262-452-2224.